kick?
Actually, that gets a kick forwards into the right.
That intentional runner, it's going to get there. Look at this one.
This could be close. This could be really close.
Good evening, good afternoon, everyone. It is Wednesday, January 31st, already a 12th of the way through 2024. Andrew, how do we feel about that, first of all? Kind of an insane day in golf, but how does that make us feel?
Yeah, the golf can wait. What is a 12th? What is that, like 8%?
Something like that.
Yeah, we'll say 8%. I feel it feels fine. It feels about right. January... You know, like you put so much pressure on yourself to like start off the year, right? And I don't know, you get a few weeks in and you're like, all right, this is just, we're just doing this again.
So it's just the same. Yeah. Everything is never ending and it's just the same. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really, really awesome. I just lost the, for Monday. Shoot. I just lost. It's a case of the Mondays. I was already ready to pull up the PGA Tour Enterprise announcement and just kind of go through it line by line, but I just closed out the link. Obviously, if you're listening to this any day after January 31st, we're fully living in the Enterprise world, but this was breaking news this morning. The merge is the wrong word. The creation of PGA Tour Enterprises with SSG. I have several heaters ready to go. But if you have any off the bat, please take the floor.
No, well, I think you'll cover most of the takes, but it was like it was a birth.
Yes,
it is birth. Funny. Like PGA Tour Enterprises, like they could not be less creative with the name. It's like,
nope.
You either die a hero or live longer than yourself. So like see yourself sell the enterprise. So this is just true B2B SaaS, the full cycle here. It's Wednesday. You mentioned it, like this news just broke today. It was, I guess people said this was coming for the past like week or so, you know, the deal was imminent. It actually isn't the deal that a lot of people thought it was, which was like the PIF Saudi deal. Like this is separate, and we still don't totally know what that means for the Saudi investment or like live. Like this actually has nothing to do with that. So anyways, that's sort of where we're at. But yeah, you take it away.
I think that's a great place to start. The biggest loser in a lot of this is just like the casual golf fan. Once again, as people know in my office, like this is kind of my thing. And all the questions were like, so is Liv back? Is Brooks back? Like, is Rom okay? What's up with Rom now? And it's very, very difficult to explain them. Like, this, in fact, has nothing to do with that. Like, in any way, it leaves the door open for a future engagement with them. But it is really hard to explain to the normal golf fan that this was just more money.
It's so interesting. It's funny, like, I'm back at school. I'm taking game theory this semester. And you can totally tell, like, this is just the perfect example of both parties sort of secretly presenting themselves in one way while in the back room, sort of doing everything they can to like build up their war chest so that they just like maintain or build some type of leverage over the other person, where it's like the obviously Liv continuing to still sign players away. We'll talk about Tyrrell Hatton joining this week. And then like the PGA Tour continuing to try to build relationships with other big money pools that aren't Saudi money, just so that they can say that they have other people who can provide them with the cash. That's where we're at.
That's a great point. And I saw a tweet just before coming on, like you cannot compete. It doesn't it doesn't matter how much John Henry and Mr. Black and Mr. Cohen can provide. The simple math is like John Rahm sat down and said $500 million split zero ways, or like a fraction of $1.2 billion split 130 ways. Like it, the math will never math hard enough for the PGA Tour to compete with what the PIF has. So really the only safety net at this point is like Uncle Sam, maybe. That's probably the only thing preventing them from being a PIF dummy. Very odd. Like,
just even like thinking about that, like 1 month into the year, like the best golf story by far is like Nick Dunlap's win the other week.
Yeah.
You know, a sophomore in college. He got precisely like $0, or maybe it was like he's like allowed to take like $1,000 out of that. Like that was the best golf product for fans that we've had this year. And like it just has nothing to do with all of this other stuff that we have to talk about.
And it's such another great point. It's just back to the fan always loses. Like, no point of this, no part of this has any inkling. Like, I'll read an exact quote from Mr. Monahan, who I'll launch on shortly. That's the list of people. Today marks an important moment for the PGA Tour and fans of golf across the world. By making PGA Tour members owners of their league, we strengthen the collective investment of our players in the success of the PGA Tour. Fans win when we all work to deliver the best in sports entertainment and return the focus to the incredible and unmatched competitive atmosphere created by our players, tournaments, and partners. How do you feel you're going to win from this? What win do you get from Patrick Cantlay having equity?
Yeah, I think the only spin that you could say here, and like people are throwing this out, is like, this is at least pushing this towards a place where we can eventually stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Like if this gets to an end state where like the players have equity and like theoretically people are happy, I guess, with what they're being paid and like don't have someone over their shoulder like offering them billions of dollars. Like the place where it's good for fans is when this isn't a conversation anymore. I'm actually reading it too here. Like Max Homa was basically saying his optimism lies in the main point of this, which is now we have very savvy and experienced stakeholders who have a lot of incentive to improve the product creatively and make it better for the fans. Is like, there's something to that where like, the PGA Tour as a nonprofit entity, like, probably just wasn't able to attract the talent like that they would have needed to build, you know, like a really engaging television product the same way that like the NBA or the NFL has. And like that, I think that argument can hold water where it's like, we can maybe just like build a business that sort of responds well to market incentives and market forces and actually like attract talent and employees who like care about the product that they're putting out, where like this is the same is true with like all nonprofits, but like they don't necessarily like have the same incentives in terms of what gets delivered to the end consumer. There's something there that like who knows if that's true or not, but that's at least something to me.
I think that's very fair. However, not like I might pontificate monologue, you soapbox, you pick the word or the phrase for what I might be about to do. Great thought by Max. If we want to go through the list of some of those people that he has mentioned as those, you know, business focused minds, Henry as the head of the Fenway Sports Group, anyone who in your life who might be a diehard Liverpool, Red Sox or Pittsburgh Penguins fan, ask them about Mr. Henry. I think he's a disgusting owner in professional sports.
What is that experience? Is it as bad as like who is the Commander's owner?
No, not that bad. No, I won't. Okay, not that bad. He's not like throwing drinks in people's faces or like being inappropriate. He has just turned the like fifth most profitable franchise in North American sports into a poverty organization. He refused, and now I guess I understand why. He was busy setting up this SSG to set up PGA Tour Enterprises and was doing zero things with the Boston Red Sox. So I'm just furious with John Henry of late. Stephen Cohen has done some good things with the Mets. I don't think a lot of people are overly happy with how that organization's being handled.
I'm a Mets fan. I like Stevie, but primarily just because I think he understands that baseball and really everything in professional sports is like somehow finagle your way around the salary cap and spend as much money as possible.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters. So he at least like opened his wallet and
that's
tried
true.
To do that for the Mets.
He, and I hope he like, but again, if that's his goal with the PGA Tour, I know he's got the world in his pocket.
I should look into this, but I do think that this investment was sort of more of a private equity placement, like through his firm, which I think is called .72. Like, I think for the Mets, like he is an individual like sports team owner, right?
Okay.
Like, which comes with all the perks of being the owner of a sports team. Like being part of this like investment group doesn't give you any of that.
Okay, good.
So I have to imagine there has to be a business case that you could put to this that you're maybe not doing when you're just like, oh, I want to own a professional sports team.
Okay, good.
That remains to be seen. But
yeah, well, I will give them a few months to see who actually gets decision-making power and comes out of this looking like a pseudo or a franchise owner. The man who still is in power, he cashed in on the Trinity College dream today as being part of a PE deal. No understanding of how Jay Monahan still maintains his role after this.
Yeah.
And might be the biggest red flag at the initial kickoff of PGA Tour Enterprises that none of these very talented and very, very business-minded and smart owners said, hit the road, Jay. You've had your year and a half. You did the best that you could with the weapons that you had at your disposal. No one is faulting you for any of this, but it's just not working anymore.
It is amazing. I don't know enough about Jay Monahan from a like how he got to where he is perspective.
I've looked into this. Trin got a sports management or sports something graduate degree at UMass and then immediately just started working in tournament ops to tour. For like individual tournaments and just kind of rode his way up the ladder. So he's been in the PGA Tour system for a long time. And I can't doubt that he knows more about tournament operations than 99% of people on the planet, but there's no experience outside of the tour. It's his whole worldview is the tour, which is awesome when they're the only option in town. But I don't think he doesn't have the facilities for that, for the world we live in.
Yeah, it goes back to the same point, which is like this is now not that like nonprofit entity world. Like this is a business, and it also was like a monopoly before, and it's very much no longer that. Like there are people who want to take what the PGA Tour has. And that just doesn't seem to me where it's like, oh yeah, the guy who's been at the PGA Tour for forever is still the right person to execute in this like new environment.
Yeah. So we'll give him some time. Hopefully a lot of the owners come out and have some sort of different role and show what they're worth for and how they've made their franchises so important. A lot of TGL owners as well. Obviously it makes a lot of sense that those gentlemen would be at the forefront of this. So Arthur Blank, Cohen and Henry all have a team in the TGL, so we'll I'm sure see some integration of these two golf mediums coming, which could be great, could be, you know, it'll be different. That's the only word we can use right now.
Just looking at this list of names, it really is all sports owners. Like Strategic Sports Group is primarily, what's interesting is like it is just a consolidation or like a group of individuals. I actually don't think it's any specific firms.
I don't think they've formed.
I think it just potentially changes the way that like they have incentives to like return money to whoever those like their investors are. Like, I think it just gives them the freedom to do whatever they want, which is potentially a good thing.
Yeah.
What I wanted to also get to was we actually got to see like a valuation for this.
Yeah.
Which I think was placed at $12 billion. I don't think that's crazy. I mean, you can't buy a sports team in any of the major leagues now for less than like $2 to $3 billion.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the current like enterprise valuation or like market cap of like the NFL or the NBA is. I'm sure it's at or near $100 billion. So whatever, $12 billion for the professional golf world or the PGA Tour and now PGA Tour Enterprises. Like,
the average NFL team is now $5 billion. So
right.
That does make sense if you round up the entire circus and throw in all the media value of the top dogs, it does make a lot of sense. So
what's interesting though is like an NFL team, right? Like they own a stadium, you know, like they sell tickets, they run that business. There's not really the equivalent in golf. Like the tournaments are sort of all managed by the league and like the sponsorships. You know, like it's typically like Wells Fargo or whoever who's paying the bulk of that, as opposed to like a business who's trying to offset their costs. So like the total like capital stack is just so interesting here. But we'll see what they do with it, I guess, is still the same answer.
We won't pass judgment again. We'll pass the buck down for a few more months. Just like last time and just like the next time, probably. But following up on how this week started, it did start with another defection or change or a free agency signing, whatever you want to refer to it as, to live for Lord Tyrrell Hatton. Apparently, Rom really wanted this one done. It makes sense with the team that he would be getting, that he'd want someone he's close with and enjoys playing with. They seem to have personalities that align really well. I guess looking back, hindsight's 2020, but it's not overly surprising that this ended up happening. Upsetting, but not overly surprising.
With Turrell, I wasn't surprised. He wasn't the, at least from my perspective, like the really big name that I thought people were talking about. Like there were people talking about, I think more recently, like either Victor, Xander, like just some people that I think are more staples of the tour than Tyrrell. And he's on like the European tour anyway, which just means he's not sort of as prevalent in a lot of like the PGA Tour discussions. Like,
yeah, I feel like we don't see him that much. Like,
no.
It's rare that I'm watching a regular event and I catch clips of him. Like, I feel like I only watch him at the majors and like the BMW Wentworth at the end of the DP World Tour season. Like, I'm just not, like, it sucks. I love watching him play, but it's not a huge,
And like, you probably do see him
on a weekly basis, but
yeah, but like, you probably see him more than most European Tour players because he does have kind of like that personality around him. So like actually for how much he plays in PGA Tour events, you probably see him like way more than most other people who primarily play like DP or European Tour stuff.
It's like Adrian Meronk might be the better player. I mean, that means who cares? Like, no offense, but I couldn't tell you, I couldn't pick him out of a lineup of two people. So
yeah,
definitely more significant than that.
It makes me a little bit nervous for people like Fleetwood. Because if they start to see this and they're like, why am I dealing with this PGA Tour schedule? That would be the only concern for me.
Especially, I don't know how many of them live in like Florida full time versus like to be in England as often as possible. It does seem like that's a pretty easy get.
Yeah.
For Liv, like Poulter's in a different career stage, obviously, but it seemed like he just kind of wanted to be in England a bit more. I know he lives like most of the year in Orlando, but it seems like a pretty easy pitch to be, hey, we're going to have three London events. If you just kind of want to do 2 months at home in the summer, like we'll make that happen for you. It won't be a mix into your schedule. So yeah, could definitely be on the rise. It makes
Did you see the team? Legion 13.
Caleb Surratt sucks. Like the loss of Caleb Surratt sucks. Let me rephrase. He's a fantastic player. I forget. Like I watch a lot of his. I don't know if he trains with the same guy that Akshay coaches or is coached by, because he's very active on social media, that coach. And I watch a ton of Caleb Surratt content. And he can play. That's tough. That's like the worst case scenario, I think, for the PGA Tour. It happened with Andy Ogletree, like the fresh out of college kid. That's true red alarm. That's really upsetting. Yeah, they didn't
get Nick Dunlap.
Yeah, I'm sure they offered him a ton of money. Totally. And if they haven't, it's coming. I can't believe I'm sure that they would have already. But yeah, that's really upsetting. And then the fourth, I did not recognize the fourth person.
Oh, on that team?
Yeah, no, I don't think it. I think it's just like a.
So it's Rom, Darrell, Caleb, and Kieran Vincent.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything to me.
Don't know who that is. But yeah, the top three are unfortunate. Then I guess segueing into our one of our last few things here, as is January 31st, hand up. I did predict that Lord Hatton would win twice on the PGA Tour this season. Doesn't look like that one's going to happen unless he picks up two majors. I don't think he's going to pick up any more FedEx Cup points. So that's on me. I should have, you know, realized that there was an entire third option of him leaving the tour altogether. That's foolish and short-sighted by me. But we'll be better next year.
And I think we're going to continue to hold that against him.
Absolutely. In the 2024 recap, it's going to be brought up that the guy couldn't win on tour. The guy could not win a single time on tour in 2023. Probably doesn't have a clutch gene. It's something that people have to consider.
Couldn't win on the Enterprise.
No, couldn't win on the Enterprise. If you can't win on the Enterprise, where can you win?
Couldn't close the big deals.
Yeah. Speaking of, I think we owe the fans a quick recap on our first 12th of the year goals. End of dry January for anyone who was participating. How are you looking heading into February and the rest of the year? Where are we making progress on our goals? Where are we still struggling?
Yeah. All right. So I'm doing good. I think dry January, I would call it a success. And that doesn't mean that I didn't drink in January. Obviously I did. But I didn't drink anything for the first 2 weeks. And then I really only drank when I went out this past weekend to like a Latin rave, which was sick. Oh. In San Francisco with a bunch of people from school. So that was a lot of like tequila and mezcal, but relatively in control there. And then I would say on from like a health perspective, I've been hitting the gym. Okay. We're making a lot of progress on workouts. I haven't gotten on the bike yet. It's actually dumping here. We're going to get to Pebble Beach in a second, but like weather in California has been so uncharacteristically like rainy. So I haven't gotten out on the bike. I did finish my first book, Travels with Charlie. See you later. I've got one coming up next with Cormac McCarthy. I forget the name of that one. It's not The Road. It's another one of his books for Book Club. We're doing good there. I have not watched an episode of The West Wing yet.
Oh, that hurts. That's the easiest one.
It is the easiest one. I've been watching the new season of True Detective.
Okay, I've heard really good things about that, actually.
Pretty into it. So, mixed bag. Golf. I'm not really golfing. I haven't played yet.
Fair.
Gone to the range twice. So that could be worse, but I knew that golf was going to take, you know, you have to finish the winter first before you start playing a lot.
All right. So overall, like, very good start on a lot of those. The West Wing pilot, again, you don't need to hear this. You know this. One of the better pilots, like, the show as a whole is great. The pilot is, it's really, really good.
Yeah. The art of the pilot has kind of disappeared with streaming.
Yeah,
because absolutely. Like, just for at least like full seasons.
Comes to mind for me on that one. First episode was a drag. I don't have 90 minutes to get like narrative blasted. I need to be pulled in 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'll tell you the best pilot ever is the first episode of Lost, because it's right when the plane crash happens.
Yeah,
all time.
I'll have to. The Lost was a bit pre me, but not. I mean, not that West Wing wasn't, but I might have to add Lost to my list because I do feel like I would enjoy that one.
Lost is such a good adventure.
Okay, I'll have to. Maybe that'll be a 2025. I also realized. Fact check myself. I was completely mentioning the wrong years when saying Tyrrell Hatton like couldn't win in 2023. We already knew that. Like, that year has ended. That's true. So in the 2025 goals pod, it'll be mentioned that Tyrrell Hatton could not win on the Enterprise in 2024. Mine are going okay. I haven't been to the gym once this week. I don't think it's going to happen. I drank so much in January, more than a normal month. I've really started to form a connection with my local bartender, which is good and bad. He's this guy from Dublin. He's a great guy. He's a guaranteed good time if you just show up. That has hurt my, my body in a lot of ways. I finished the
protein shakes.
So I got a new water bottle, specifically for protein shakes, which was a big get. I've been very good about at least two per week. There have been, I think I missed 1 week. I only did two, but every other week so far this year, I've been at three. So that's been going really well. I've lost 2 pounds somehow. Yeah, joke. I think it's because of basketball. I think I'm running too much. I need to cut down on the cardio. We'll figure out a way to do that, but kind of annoying.
All right. So yeah, I think we're both in good shape. On to February.
Yeah. February is a long month this year. We've got a whole extra day, so we can really take advantage of it. And going back into the golf, I haven't done a thing. I failed that goal in January. I didn't practice or do anything related to golf, but have been watching a lot of golf. That was a big improvement for me this year. Definitely excited to watch this week, especially with the weather that you mentioned. Pretty crazy conditions. Can we get a live on the scene report as to what they might be dealing with this week?
I mean, hopefully you guys can't hear it, but like it's pouring outside, and this never happens.
So you mentioned it when we started recording. I couldn't hear it. I can now hear it. I was looking around for something in my apartment. So
at this point it is what it is, but it definitely is raining, and like it's just very unusual. Like just days and days in a row of rain is very uncharacteristic. My dog's so pissed. We haven't gone for a walk in like a few days. With Pebble, it sounds like it's even worse. I forget what the term is. I have to look this up. Have you seen this?
No.
Hold on. The atmospheric river.
Never heard of it.
I hadn't until this past week. It's the coolest word ever, or just the name for anything. The atmospheric river is apparently unleashing hell on Monterey and Pebble Beach this week.
Is it as simple as it sounds? Like there's a lot of water literally overhead, flowing all towards Monterey?
Yes, I think that's
awesome. Where did it come from? Like, is it an El Nino thing?
I don't have those details. I think it is related to El Nino. But, this, okay. Dude, this is the headline. Like, Rivers in the Sky.
That's so awesome. That's sick. That's a band name.
Yeah. So, I think it's pretty cold, too. I mean, like, Pebble is so exposed. Like, it's actually, like, pretty far out there in terms of being on the coast. So, in general, Pebble is always, like, pretty sensitive or subject to extreme weather. Like, when it gets windy there, like, it gets super windy.
Yeah.
I think that's actually sounding like that's going to be the bigger issue is, like, the wind impacting not just, like, the golf, but, like, the setup of the tournament, like, the ability for people to watch, like, all of the cameras and stuff like that. And then I do think it's just going to be really wet. So my bet is that it won't get done by end of day Sunday unless they unless they figure out a way to like front load it. The good thing is like there's not that many people playing this week. It's just
It's just the head like
80 big dog. Plus so like 10 or 12 amateurs.
Yeah.
So hopefully it works. They had done all of this work too to make it, you know, like they cut a lot of the amateurs, so it's not as many celebrities.
Yeah.
It's just supposed to be like really high quality golf and it was meant to be a better television product. We'll see if that ends up being the case. I still might wake up early and drive down there tomorrow, just to try to run into some people and see how that goes. But I'll stay tuned. If I get there, I'll definitely do some version of a live report from the ground.
That'd be awesome. That'd be sweet. If you run into either Aaron or Patrick Rogers, honestly, we would take either on the show, but. I know a lot of, we will not be a podcast that cuts off Aaron Rodgers' mic. I would welcome him at this. So yeah,
I would love that. I think TB12 is there. I think Josh Allen is there.
Yeah, that made me sad. He must be so effing sick of being available at this time.
I had that same thought. Almost to the point where I was like, dude, he shouldn't go. Like,
yeah, like I would stop signing. Like, yeah, I'll play in the. He's kind of, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. He's like, right. I love playing in the Pro-Am. I'll keep doing it. You're going to keep being available the first week of February, Josh. You joke. Right. Whatever.
I'll hopefully run into him and I'll get him on Banty and it'll be worth it.
So. It'll be great. And it'll be awesome. And he'll lose to Patrick every year. I mean, it's tough to kind of look at this field because it is an elevated and all the names are the names, but I have a great feeling about JT this week because of the elements. I know Rory grew up on the Isles, but recently I just like, it feels like he is built for simulator golf. Like he's built to play in the Middle Eastern dome of perfect air. Just place it where you need to place it. I don't want to, like, his creativity is not gone, but he just like at the Open 2 years ago, there were just some trajectories and some shapes that were incorrect and didn't fit what needed to be done. So the opposite of that being the guy who's hooking it around everything he needs to just for fun sometimes. And JT's been in form. It has been, again, so hand good. Up. Not the best prediction so far by me this year.
By the way, he was mine, so I'm looking.
Yeah, he's making you look pretty good so far, and I think this could be the breakthrough this week.
Yeah, so I agree with all of that. I'm gonna read off my team. This is this new Splash Sports tool that I'm trying out. So the way that this works is like I've got a team here. You can actually sign up at splashsports.com and you'll find like Banty's contest for this week. But basically it's like daily fantasy. You pick four people from, you know, different tiers of the odds to add to your team. And I think just to put it in context, I don't know if you saw this about Pebble Beach, but the one thing that people were talking about was just like the grass. I think it's all POA. And how different that is for people who like aren't used to that, obviously. So
yeah.
I took out a couple people knowing that Max Homa, Cali kid, has you know, went to Cal, should know exactly what he's up against there, and he looks to be in pretty good form. So he was my number one slot. I think contrasted with Rory, I do think Fleetwood can kind of thrive in the mudder environment. So I put him there, my two spot. I put JT, Justin Thomas in my three spot. And then this sort of goes against what I said first about the POA and not bringing on people from the Southeast, but I did add Brian Harman.
Okay.
Someone, I think it was Matt McNeely, was saying like the opposite of POA is like what you would get in like Sea Island, Georgia. But I think you can throw that out when we're talking about Brian Harman, because he's just a wily coyote out there.
Brian Harman was certainly not on my bingo sheet this week, so I hope you're right about that one. I feel like he's often not. That's kind of his role.
I know. I just picture him like full black, like the biggest oversized rain pants and rain jacket.
Yeah, that's fair. He kind of looked like they're his older brother's pants or something. Like they're not his pants. Yeah.
Probably hunting gear.
Yeah, I could see that. He's just such a goofball. Crazy that he's a major champion. I like all those. I really am just confident in JT and Max as well. You mentioned I'm going to ride with. I think I'll just do two PTWs and hope one of them hits this week. I think I kind of iced myself by announcing that I was back. I'd taken a big break from football and basketball and golf in Q4 of last year, and then caught like two heaters in mid-January. And I declared that I was back, started texting people picks. Like Peter Brown, friend of the program, can attest that I was feeding him just terrible information, and I thought I was a genius. So maybe, you know, I think I'm going to have to bring it back down to earth and just try and get pure luck back into things. So two winners.
You have been, in terms of our goals, you're back on Twitter. I'm glad to see it. Looks like you're back on the stage.
So, I mean, I was in, this is a total unrelated to everything that we do. I'm deep into Twitter beef again. Like I don't, you probably have no exposure to like the UConn and Big East basketball Twitter that I'm on. There was some stuff this week from like, my roommate is he's like the biggest, one of the biggest lovers of UConn sports and basketball I know. And there was stuff that he wasn't even knowledgeable about, that it was like some documentary on YouTube that got crazy. People going at it. Doug Gottlieb, who's like a known TV entity.
I've seen a little bit of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Providence stuff.
Yeah, with the Providence stuff, like very weird weekend. It killed.
I don't think I'm part of that.
No, you don't. If you're not from the Northeast, you are from the Northeast. But if you're not like the Big East basketball tradition of the Northeast, there's no reason to get sucked in with the Providence mutants. But it killed like 90 minutes of my night last night. And I've been getting very active in Twitter replies with people who went to Providence College. Needless to say, some nasty stuff being said by them, but I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back.
We're glad to have you. I was thinking about football, but I think we can save that for next week.
Because
we have the week off with the Super Bowl. But we'll come back to Super Bowl picks next week. I think that's all I got for now.
I'm glad that we could ring in the PGA Tour Enterprise era with a great show, and looking forward to Pebble, and looking forward to whatever the hell Mr. Monahan could have in store for us.
Yeah. All right.
The top. Ooh, the lolly, lolly. Chip, puck, you know what's the big whoop? When I play my game, and then I make my mama proud. Woo. Smash, bang, you gotta hit the ball far. Then the crowd goes, woo. Then you hear the ooh, the lolly, lolly. Treat, treat. I want my birdies all day long. Let the bogeys go and say, hey.
Ooh, the lolly, lolly.
Hey. You wanna play with the pros now?
Hey.
You gotta hit it in the hole now?
Hey.
You wanna reach that top, yeah?
Hey.
You gotta give it all you got.
Cheers. Yeah.